It's another episode of World Journey, and I'm glad to have you join us. How are you doing? Today is the third leg on our series for the month of May, which is focused on productivity and then work. And last week on World Journey, we looked at power to make wealth. One of the things that was emphasized in the course of that series was when Venerable explained that God said, "I am giving you power to make wealth," but he didn't go to plant for Isaac. He didn't go to water for Isaac. Isaac sowed in that land. And God said, "Okay, you are doing what you're doing. Let me pour blessing on you." So they want to learn about this process of doing our own part. Jesus, while trying to explain this in his days on earth, gave a parable we call the parable of the talents. And because of that passage, you saw this statement made, "Occupy with this until I come." Some translation that I try to use modern day English say, "Do business with this until I come." That's what I want to look at today on World Journey. I want to know, how do I occupy? Do I even have something to occupy with? Am I just going to occupy with what, really? And what does it mean to occupy? So these are some of the questions on my mind. And then I hope that in the course of this discussion, we'll find the answer to it. Now, if this is your first time joining us on World Journey, World Journey is a platform where we gather to learn how to embark on our life pursuits based on the Word of God. Our approach is that every week we take a topical issue, search the scriptures, understand the mind of God, that we may adapt our lives to it. We have over 20 episodes of World Journey, and then they are all available for your free download when you visit Venerable Bona's website. That is ehanyobona.com. Please know that beside the option of downloading, you have provided another option, which is you can stream every single one of these on your favorite podcast platform. So whether it's Google Music, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Stitchers, Radio Republic, Spotify, Anchor FM, you can find them. Just type, search for World Journey or Ven Ehan Obona. Yes, very important to also note is that by the strength and wisdom of God, there are other channels you can actually get this World Journey teaching from Venerable Bona. So you can get them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and then a bit of YouTube too. When you search for at Our World Journey, that's a handle across social media platforms. Just use the handle at Our World Journey and you'll find the platform where we shared some of this content. Now for today's episode, please, I will introduce my guest when I come back after this break. My name is Ifeanyi Chukwu. Dimoke.
Our faith in Christ did not just reconcile us to God. It ushered us into the Christ kingdom, where the Bible viewpoint is supreme. A genuine member of the kingdom is the one whose lifestyle is guided by Bible principles. On what journey? We search the scriptures to learn the mind of God so that we may conform our lifestyle to it. Welcome to World Journey. I am your brother in Christ, Venerable Ehan Chukwu Obona.
Welcome back to World Journey. As usual on World Journey, my guest is Venerable Ehan Chukwu Obona, who is a servant of God that believes that Christ elevated lives are liberated and is committed to teaching the sound word of God across any platform that God gives him. His hope is that God will use this teaching to transform the lives of men. Venerable, thank you very much for joining us again on this week's edition of World Journey.
Thank you, and may the name of the Lord be praised.
All right. Now, Venerable, today we are looking at occupying with this, do business with this, whichever expression. And then what first thing I want to understand is, does everybody have something to occupy with? I'm asking the question because the sense in the statement or instruction, occupy with this, means that something has been given to someone and they are saying, occupy with this thing that was given to you. Does everybody have something to occupy with?
The answer is yes. If we go to the scriptures where this particular topic is taken from, occupy till I come, staying faithful in the Lord's work, is just the summary. staying faithful in the Lord's work. In Luke chapter 19, specifically verse 19, our Lord shared a parable about a certain nobleman who went into a far country to receive himself a kingdom and returned. Now you remember when he was going, he gave 1 5, gave 3, gave 1, and walked away. And that is when he says, do business with this. So another place is in Romans chapter 12 verse 6, teaches us that we as Christians have been entrusted with gifts to be used for the Lord. A Christian brother, a Christian sister, God has given you a gift to be used for him. He said, having then gifts different according to the grace given unto us. These gifts, one thing you need to know is that it's according to grace. We too are to occupy. We are to invest our time. We are to invest our talents, our treasures, and opportunities for God, so that God's work will advance and multiply. And the next thing is that, how long am I supposed to occupy? Is there a time frame for occupation? He said, no. Is there, can we terminate, does he have a termination date for our services? No. Will it be proper for us to say that I have gone to read my Bible every day for 1 month, and so I'm going to stop here? I'm going to tithe and trust God in my stewardship until I get out of debt. You are in debt, you start paying tithe. When you pay tithe and pay tithe and pay tithe, and then you pay your debt, you stop paying tithe. No, God's command is for us to occupy until he returns. So if we do a proper analysis of that story, where the word occupy till I come, do business with this, it shows that all of us have something to occupy with. So in answer to your question, even in the church, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the whole of that chapter dwells on where. Now, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand about spiritual gifts. You remember the lives you lived before you were believers. You let yourself be influenced and led away to worship idols, things that have no life. So I tell you that no one is speaking with the help of God's Spirit, says Jesus, because, and no one can say Jesus is Lord without the help. And now verse 4 says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but they are all from the same Spirit. There are different ways to serve, but from the same Lord. There are different ways that God works in people, but the same God who works in all of us to do everything. Now, so what am I saying? In spirituality, God has deposited something in you. In the physical, God has also deposited something in you for you to do what? Occupy till he comes.
Okay. Yes, for those who didn't listen to our previous episodes or version, where perhaps we discussed this, please help me understand how to identify what I've been given to occupy with.
Praying and asking God for its manifestation. For a child of God, if you continue in the word and in prayers, the giver of the gift is the Holy Spirit, and you continually ask him to manifest, that you begin to manifest the gift that is given to you, it will come forth. Your gift may be the gift of teaching the word of God, and immediately you start asking for this manifestation, opportunities of ministration will come your way. You may always be called upon for the first time to minister, and you perform the next day. The sooner than you know it, nobody will start telling you that you have this gift, because people will start seeing the manifestation in your life. You also have the gift of ministering in songs. Once you handle the microphone and minister, people will shed tears and fall under anointing. Little by little, opportunities of ministration, ministering in songs, will start coming your way. That alone will inform you that you have such and such a gift.
Okay. So how do I go about occupying with this or doing business with whatever thing I find out? You know, I'm asking because there are all kinds of things people can occupy with from your answer. So yes. What's the pattern? How does a singer occupy with his singing? How does a cook occupy with cook? How does a children teacher occupy with children teaching? How does everybody occupy with whatever they have been given to occupy?
One, obedience. You cannot occupy without obedience. You may see from that scriptures, the person that was given 5 talents went straight to invest. We are talking about the physical investment now. The person 3 went straight to invest. The one of one went and hid his own. Occupy till I come. You refuse to occupy. There is need for you to pray. Because in prayer is where you discuss your issue with God. How am I going to achieve this? You start each day in meditation and prayer. You are also to do what Proverbs said in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. The Bible says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. You cannot occupy for the master if the master is not involved. He has asked you to occupy, but he says, commit it into the hand of God and He will establish it. Now, for the ordinary man who is in business, you are given a talent and you are asked to invest it. You must get organized. You must have detailed records. You know, you must analyze your competition and understand the risk and reward of that business. You must be creative, and then you stay focused. You should prepare to make sacrifices and provide great services. Always be consistent, honest, and faithfulness will be your watchword. Let's read Matthew chapter 24, verse 45.
I am wondering how this typical investment principle applied to
spirituality.
Yes.
That's why I said, let's go and read Matthew chapter 24, verse 45. Matthew chapter 24, verse 45 to 51. Thank you. Who is the wise and trusted servant? Who is that wise and trusted servant? The master trusted one servant to give the other servants their food at the right time. Who is the one the master trusts to do that work? When the master comes and finds that servant doing the work he gave him, it will be a day of blessing for that servant. I can tell you without a doubt that the master will choose that servant to take care of everything he owes. But what will happen if that servant is evil and think his master will not come back soon? He will begin to beat the other servants. He will eat and drink with others who are drunk. Then the master will come when the servant is not ready. At that time, when the servant is not expecting him, then the master will punish that servant. He will send him away to be with hypocrites, where people will cry and grind their teeth with pain. You ask a question, how would these principles work? If we go back to Luke, where we are taken as a point of reference, and what happens there? The master called the servants. Just like our Lord Jesus Christ has gone to prepare a kingdom and he's to return, he has deposited both spiritual and physical gifts to us. And in business, I just outlined. Now, the man that was given 5 talents, if he is not organized, he will have lost one and possibly invest 4. So he was organized to have kept 4 and invested 4. Now, take it to the church. You are given a gift. God deposited a gift in your life. If you are not organized, you cannot manifest that gift. That organization is, when you go back to the gift giver, I know you gave me this gift, and I don't want to operate on this gift without you being honored.
And as always, I am just a tool for the manifestation of your gift. You are going to drive through me and use me as a vehicle to manifest that gift. You know what I do? It shows the Holy Spirit that this guy is organized. You know where you're coming from. And the young man that had 5 talents, invested 5 because of his organizational structure, kept record to know that he made 5. You are an evangelist. How do you keep records of people you have preached to? People that have repented. Just like in a church. Your stewardship is that I made this church with 400 men and women. I am leaving this church with 600, and which is, you added what? 200. Is it not record keeping?
It is.
Thank you. You know, you have competition. The man that had 5 knew that the competitor is who? The person that had 3. He peradventure got tired. From 5, you made another 5 is 10. From 3, this person made 3 is 6. If you kept quiet because you have made 10, this man will double his 3 to be what? 12.
Mm.
From 3 to 6, double 6 becomes 12. So in the ministry too, in spirituality, you know that we are in competition with the preachers of false gospel. People that are deceiving themselves with different doctrines.
Mm.
You are in competition. And souls of men is what you are competing. Then you will study well to be able to win people for Christ. You understand the risk. There is risk. When that man was investing, he notices that if I have planted and I didn't water it, I won't make extra 5. There's a risk and there's a reward. In what we are doing, what are we doing? The master says, my reward is in my hands. In your administration, take a music singer, for an instance. Do you know there is risk in what you're doing? That gift God has given you. Do you know that Satan is competing to take it away from you? Do you understand that there is reward? That at the end of the day, if you have used it to bless the church, that God will give you a reward. But the problem is that so many of us these days will use the gift of God has given to us to make wealth.
Is it wrong?
I didn't say it's wrong. I said you are being given that gift to make money. When I said make wealth, is that for whatever you do, you charge money. It's not by appreciation any longer. God may be instructing you, go and minister freely here. But you have a standard. It has become law of media and pressure that the person must pay. No. You know, when we start abusing it, is when we tend, there's a tiny line. You are tending to materialism. God has given you a gift and a power. It is the work of your hand. That's what you tell me now, because I have said God blesses the work of your hand.
Yes.
Fine. But when we begin to abuse the same work of hand, you know, it can be abused. God has given you the power, the anointing to minister the word of God. And when you begin to subject it to monetary terms, there are some ministers you go to invite now that you must deposit millions of naira before they visit you. You must go to certain hotel to pay. You must provide this. It has become their own way. See, materialism will come in sooner than later. So there's a balance.
Oh, okay, here's my concern. Someone is at home is wondering, God gave me ability to sing. The same way he gave somebody, a doctor, ability to doctor.
Yes.
Quotes.
Yeah.
Essentially to give medical care.
Yeah.
So why can't I charge money for... am I going to expect manna from heaven? It's the same. I'm planting, sowing. I mean, to multiply. Why can't I just charge money?
No, nobody.
How am I going to take care of my family if I don't charge money for, as a preacher? God gave me ability to preach. I'm supposed to get money to pay children's school fees and take care of my dependents.
No, you see, when I say God will take care of you, I believed it in Israel. We are not supposed to turn it as service rendering. That is where it becomes a problem. What is the motive? The gift given to you make it a way for you. And God will bring men and women to bless you. Okay, let me take for instance. You are given the gift of prayer. You sit down and people started knocking at your door and be paying money to obtain prayer. So they pray. They pay money to get prayer from you. So you are becoming a native doctor. They are consulting you now. So what is the difference between you and the native doctor? You sit down to pray. The gift of prayer was used to make money. But you, we pray. Somebody prays for I come in, pay 50,000 naira. You prayed for me. Possibly it worked, and I walk away. Another person comes into another brother. He prays, and the thing worked. And that brother comes back and gives me a gift of car. Which one is better?
The one that gives gifts.
See, I know ministers in this town whom by their ministration people have blessed with gifts beyond that. Cars. You don't dictate for God the word of your blessing. When you begin to make money for this thing, for the sake of this, you begin to charge money. You are telling God, let him keep his own. But God knows you are paying school fees. You are paying rent. You are taking care of people. And he sends people to bless you beyond that. The gift of a man, make it way for him, fine. And a man will come your way and knock at your door. You prayed for him, and God answers, and he will remind you. You may have forgotten that person, and he appeared and handed over a key of a car to you. Won't you be happy for that gift rather than the money you are charging people? Because you are turning yourself to a native doctor.
Okay, the thing is that I'm not a pastor.
Yes.
But I've heard about preachers who go around preaching, and they complain about the fact that there are Christians who don't know how to take care of their own preachers.
They're no problem.
So they transport themselves to come there. The people don't even say, let's give you your transport money. They don't give them in, put them in a decent accommodation. Maybe they will go home with bed bug. You know, all those kind of stuff. So they say, let's end this problem.
This is human thinking coming to play. It's not everywhere you go to minister that you'll be taken care of. And there is no room for complaint. Are you ministering because of men or because God has called you to minister? He that has called you is well able, abundantly able, and more than able to take care of you.
Even if they put me in a mat.
Opportunities may come where you go for ministration and you are taken care of well and well. And when you are going, you are happy going. But if on the other way, after ministration, even before ministration, you are not kept on a good accommodation.
They put me on a mat.
They provided a mat.
Yes.
Serve God on a mat.
A whole man of God.
There is nothing like a whole man of God. They are all servants. And a servant do not dictate to the master how to treat him. You are serving God and not who called you. Who employed you. The man that you are going to minister, that church you are going to minister, did not employ you. The person that employed you is God. And if you have communicated your employer that you are going to minister in such and such a church, go with me, be with me, and he goes there and provided a mat for you to sleep, sleep on a mat. Minister. Reward is not of the host. Reward is of the master. If they don't take care of you today, God will provide a place where they will take care of you another day. But there is joy in heaven over one soul that repents. You are going there to serve the master and to elevate Christ, for him to draw souls unto himself. And you are complaining of hotel, accommodation, mats. You may sleep on a very wonderful bed, water bed, and you have excess sleep that night. I had no ministration. And you may sleep on a mat, and heaven will open doors for you at the point of ministration. Which one is better? Let's learn to hand over situations to God. He said he's able to take care of us. Haven't you seen ministers who don't complain? They'll be coming. They will choose to pay for where they will stay. Pay for it, eat their food, still come to minister and go back. What a church in town will do for you is not a yardstick of what a church in a village will do for you. You're going to minister in a remote area. You're expecting the person to put you in a hotel. When he has no toilet even to go to toilet, he goes to toilet in the bush. For you to accept to go there means that God is going to work out something for you there.
Okay. Now, sometimes, like we saw in that parable, we saw that one person was given 5 talents. Another person was given 1. The 2 persons were rewarded for occupying what they were given. Now, the reality is that it can be tempting not to occupy with what we are given if it's not glamorous. Glamorous in the sense like the guys who move around wire in church. Nobody knows them. Okay, let me not say nobody knows them. Most people don't know them as much as the person who sings. The driver for evangelism bus, most people don't know him because he just drives, comes in, checks for, make sure everything is fine, and drives back. He doesn't preach.
So it can be tempting to abandon it. So it, to that extent, it can be likened to that one talent. How do I, for example, resist the temptation to abandon what God has given me because it's not glamorous, or because I feel that other people's own are 2, 3, 5, but my own is just one?
If we look at those, the parable of the talent, if we choose to use that, the Bible says, when the master, at the time of accountability, says, come, you good and faithful servant. That's to the what? Person that had 5. The person that had 3, you good and faithful servant. The person that had 1.
You told me wicked servant. Okay. The one he has was...
You know, what I want to make clear is that it's not in the gift that is given or the number of talent. It's how faithful you are in what you are given. Now, that person that had 1 should have, at the point of receiving that 1, rejected it and it be given to another. But you accepted it and start living a life of comparison. That may be the case. Why must I be given 1? Why this person is given 3 and this person is given 5? 2, he said that his master is wicked. Bible says he went and hid his own. And when the master came from where we in Luke 19, 24, he said, you were a wicked servant. That you would have done what? Gone to invest this money. If you didn't want to invest it to make profit, you would have gone to save it. Mm. At least it would be something. His attitude is the problem. A person that is a driver of a bus,
church bus,
can be said to occupy and occupied well more than the priest of that church.
Really?
Yes. If you are a minister of the gospel, you are not faithfully doing the work God committed into your hands, and the bus driver you employed in the same church driving the bus, faithfully occupied driving the bus to the glory of God, who will God bless?
But this bus conductor does not preach now.
Preaching do not constitute occupying. If you preach and didn't preach well, if in your administration is not under the influence or anointing of the Holy Spirit, you are not operating under the Holy Spirit, yet you are preaching.
But the bus driver is not spiritual. He's a Christian.
No, he's a Christian, and he is driving that bus faithfully, serving you as the master, as unto the Lord. He's occupying, as far as driving that bus is concerned. He drives that bus, maintains that bus with the fear of God all the days of the existence of that bus. He's occupying faithfully. He's more faithful than the master. No. You preach the word of God and then you steal the church money. You steal church funds. That guy drives bus and he's not stealing fuel. He doesn't steal pass. He goes for servicing and comes out and gives you the correct bill. What we do is not important. It's how we do it. What we are named is not important. It's what we do out of what we are named. He's named a driver. But in driving, he's faithful. And he's occupying, knowing really well that he's not driving you. He's driving the Lord Jesus Christ. He's rendering his service to God. So faithfully, he's there. In honesty, he's there. In sincerity, he's there. In commitment, he's there. You ask him to come to work. He reports by 7:30 to begin work for 8. But you put a church service by 6:30 and you are there by 7. You're not faithful. You're not doing the work of the master. The young man who is a driver is more faithful than you. So he's occupying in the correct sense of occupation. He's doing that business faithfully. If the master comes back, he will look at him in this year's thing and say, you, good and faithful servant. Then the master, who is the minister of that particular organization or church, will not receive you, good and faithful servant. Because you are not teaching the church properly. You are not ministering according to the program of God. It's according to your own program. So titles doesn't work in this regard. The number of gifts you are given do not work in this regard. It's how faithfully you use it. You, good and faithful servant. Are you good? Are you faithful? You may not be elevating Christ on the pulpit. And then that young man, by his actions, the way he's serving you, people are seeing Christ in a driver. But he's not seeing Christ in a minister.
Okay. We'll talk about this good and faithful servant accolade that they got when we'll come back after this break. It's break time already. And you are still listening to Word Journey. Today we are looking at occupy with this. And what we want to learn is, have I been given something to occupy we've also learned how to occupy what we've been given with. And then we just looked at how to resist the temptation to abandon what I've been given to occupy because it's not glamorous, it doesn't make me famous, and it's not as much in quantity as some other person I'm looking at. Now, when we come back after this break, I want us to look at other things. How do I even multiply what I've been given? Because the guys who are referred to as good and faithful servants, they multiplied what they were given, irrespective of the number. We also want to learn how to prove faithful in little, and then we'll look at other aspects of this discussion. Again, my guest has been Venerable Ihan Ichiku Ogbonna. When we come back after this break, we'll get into other aspects of the discussion. Stay tuned.
Since the first episode of What Journey debuted on 25th December 2022, God has helped the team release a new episode every week. By the strength and wisdom God provides, the What Journey team has expanded your options for accessing every episode. So, in addition to downloading all the episodes on the website ihanyobona.com, you can equally stream all of them on any of your favorite podcast platforms, such as Anchor FM, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitchers, Amazon Music, and Radio Republic. In fact, the team has made extra efforts to bring you the Word of God daily through channels we call Word Alive in the morning and Bedtime Rema in the evening. Our desire is that you have daily infusion of the Word of God, even in the midst of your busy schedules. So, if you want to get our weekly Word Journey, Daily Word Alive, and Bedtime Rema, please send WJ to 0803-7620-939 on WhatsApp.
Welcome back. Venerable, before we went on the break, you talked about the guy that's faithful and then good and faithful. We just finished talking about how to resist the temptation to abandon what God has given me to occupy because it's not glamorous. Now, the thing I want to understand is that the guys who are referred as good and faithful multiplied what they were given double. How do I multiply what I've been given? Say I'm a driver, I'm a singer, I'm a gardener. Your favorite example, I'm a granola seller. How do I multiply these things that I've been given to occupy with?
You know, there are things that cannot be quantified. Like a singer. How you multiply his singing in church? No. It's the extent of your ministration.
Yes, yeah, okay.
Now, but the only thing, what made them succeed, the people that are referred in that parable, is what? Faithfulness. Without faithfulness in what you do, there'll be no multiplication.
Okay.
And God was rewarding their faithfulness and not the quantum of the thing they gave him back. You good and faithful servant. He didn't say you servant that multiplied your own. He would have given the number 5 a different title and give number 3 a different title. But they had the same thing. What quality do they possess? Good and faithful. He saw goodness in them. He saw faithfulness in them. And where is goodness coming from? And where is faithfulness coming from? From the Holy Spirit. But to the third person, he saw wickedness in him. God, he called him, you wicked servant. So, which one are you? For anything God has given you to multiply, you must be faithful. Faithfulness in following the program of God. Faithfulness in adhering to instructions of God. Simple. We multiply our talents by using them and putting them into practice. You can't be a wonderful singer if you don't practice singing. And you can't sing well if you don't sing 1, 2, 3, 4. You are multiplying. They say practice makes a what? Perfect. If today you are given an opportunity to minister for 10 minutes, and you perform
wonderfully well. The next day, you are given an opportunity to minister 20 minutes. The other one, you are given an opportunity to minister at the beginning of service and at the end of the service. You know what you are doing? You are multiplying. Simply. But cannot be measured by what? A physical number.
Mm-hmm.
So multiplication is not about 5 to 10. No. There are things. Your success. How people. Brother, today's ministration, you really ministered to us through your worship. Everybody in the church is elevated spiritually. They know that today's worship was something else. Don't you know that at that material time, you are what? You are multiplying. Because you are bringing more souls to the kingdom of God through your service. You must find yourself a place in the church and in the kingdom of God. That is the essence of faithfulness. If you don't apply your gift, how will you multiply it? Just like the number, the one that had one. He refused to invest. He refused to apply it. He refused to cultivate. He refused everything and went and kept it.
Okay. I'm trying to understand who exactly a faithful servant is. What
a faithful servant that puts into work what God has given him, you are faithful. You are made a Bible teacher in a church. You are a teacher of the Bible.
Mm.
And you stay there and teach the Bible. Even at a point, they want to drag you. No. It's not teaching of the Bible that I come and preach. You know that the gift God has given you is what?
Teaching.
Teaching of the Bible. If you refuse to stay there and teach the Bible and go into preaching, you are not faithful as far as God is concerned. You are doing these two things correct. Is preaching bad?
No.
But where has God called you?
Teaching.
And if you don't teach and Christ comes and you are found preaching, were you faithful?
No.
Thank you. So faithfulness is doing the right thing at the right time, at the right place, in the right quantity, as far as the work of the ministry is concerned. Operating in your area of ministry. If you are a prophet, prophet well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If you are an evangelist, evangelize well. Whatever God has given you. And that's why you don't need to look at the other person. So faithfulness is when you don't look at what the other people are doing and you concentrate on what God has given you. The man of three didn't go and look at the other man of five. He had three. He faithfully applied three. He had five. He faithfully applied five. But you had one. Why not faithfully apply one? Because the underlying qualification is faithfulness. He refused to be faithful. So there is no way to show faithfulness other than to know what God has given you and operate in that. Even in spiritual gift. You know, people think that when you prophesy, that you are the prophet, they are the biggest gift.
Mm.
Fine. They are given the gift of the God gave them the gift prophets to prophesy. You are given the gift of interpretation or prophecy. Another person is given the gift of administration, and he says all these things come from the same source, and you are reporting back to the same source. Your gift is to sweep the church, and you faithfully sweep the church, and God will faithfully bless you. Don't aspire to be the preacher because they are seen. Because they are seen by everybody.
But those who are seen, they are more respected. They are more rewarded. And
who says they are more rewarded?
Like people give them gifts now. They do. I love my pastor. They don't do. I love my.
I have a friend.
I love my sweeper.
I have a friend. He says men will give you gifts, but God will reward you. Which one is better? The gift of men or the reward of God? Haven't you seen women who faithfully comes to church to sweep the church, and they faithfully know they are serving God, who is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and God will reward them, not in the immediate, may make their children very brilliant. They don't know, you know, they see what we are calculating is the money given to us. What we are calculating is the mundane things of this world which we receive. These are not, I say, it's not a measurement of the blessing of God. God will look at you and give you a blessing of divine health. From January to December, that woman who is sweeping the church has not gone to hospital. But that pastor that is collecting money, legal and illegal, spiritual and unspiritual money, evil money, offered to all evil altars, are given to you as gift. Your children are suffering. They give you the money, you spend it on your children in sickness. Why are we not thinking? But that lady that is sweeping the church for 1 year has not gone. Do you know that not going to hospital for a year is a very big blessing?
Yeah.
Thank you. Is it good to be taking APC and Panadol? They are chemicals. But God has taken it away from you. And then you have brilliant children. Most of these children you will hear has jamb. Easy. Boyek, what happened? Their mother or their father may have been faithful, serving God somewhere. And God look at you and say, I'm going to bless this man. I'm going to bless this woman through this son, through this daughter. Is it not blessing? So, what are we saying? Most importantly, serve God where you are, faithfully occupying till he comes back.
Okay. In apportioning reward for the servant, the master highlighted that they are proven faithful in little and therefore qualify for governorship. Like he said, he's going to put them in charge of cities.
Yes, yeah.
So I'm wondering, how do I prove faithful in little? Little can really be little and small in the eye, discouraging, not even worth giving attention to. So how do I prove faithful in my days of little beginning or when I've been given little assignments?
You know, I have said it in a previous, I was using a baba in our previous episodes to demonstrate this in a either diligent hand or blessing the work of your hand.
What journey?
20. Fine.
Works of your hand.
God has given you a little beginning. Let me give you an instance, even from the scriptures. You know, faithfulness of Joseph did not start at the house of Potiphar. Where did he start?
So that's house.
His father's house. This young man was faithfully going to take care of what? Sheep.
And reporting what he saw.
The evil of his brothers. Their misdeeds. Faithfully doing it. And when he went to Potiphar's house, he continued to be what? Faithful. In the prison, he continued to be what? Faithful. In the palace, he continued to be faithful. Have you seen? His faithfulness transcends a period of time until he became the prime minister of Egypt. Little beginning, David was doing what? Taking care of. He's a shepherd boy, his father's sheep. And God saw the way he was taking care, that this guy has the spirit of also becoming a king and taking care of my sheep. You know, Israel as a nation became a sheep to God. So David demonstrated a good shepherd in the wilderness. And God returned him into a very big job of becoming a king to take care of the children of Israel. In that episode, I told you, people migrated from selling food vendor, carrying basket of food to Buka. From Buka, we have what we call restaurant. From today, we're having what we call eatery. Those humble beginning, they were faithfully doing something. And God continued to upgrade them. From what? You know McDonald's?
Yeah.
Everybody goes to McDonald's now. But did it start as McDonald's? No. So, this is the only way. Little things, whatever God has committed into your hands, faithfully do what? Do it. Given an instance, you may be a music person in the church. You are in the music department and you faithfully serve God in that department. One day, God remembers you and you start ministering, giving you songs. You start writing songs and you develop those songs and started developing and waxing music. Have you not gone from singing in the church and becoming a musician?
Yeah.
I have one simple instance I have to call by name. You know Frank Edwards?
Yeah.
A young boy of little beginning in St. Bas Church, Azada, where he hardly play songs. He hardly play guitar or drum because there are people we call the bigger boys in the church. But today, who is he? An international singer. He went to a place in Lagos and God says, this young boy, he started playing in the music department. To such a time, today, he has many labels on his name. He's internationally recognized. But he's always remembering the humble beginning when they will be dragged out of their house to go. Because their father was in choir. He runs in their family singing. Yes, I know the father too well. He runs in the family. The junior brother is also a singer. But for him, he started somewhere, not knowing where he was going. But I know that God may have looked down on the faithfulness of the father, the faithfulness of the mother, and even the young man's faithfulness in singing, and has blessed him today. Is he not rich?
He is.
Thank you.
Now, many people at that little stage, at that stage where they can't even see that big person, they give up on faithfulness. They don't continue. Please speak to someone who is at stage where he's one contemplating giving up, contemplating being unserious and unfaithful because he can't see any big deal from this small, in quotes, beginning.
I will give a simple advice. Don't be in a hurry. That is the problem of people that has a humble beginning. That little place you are, it's good to have a great expectation, but work with the master. You can't do a program for 5 years and the master has a program of 10 years for you. You will run away. Follow God. He said, be faithful by showing up. The first step of being faithful in little things is just to show up. Always do what? Show up. Be faithful by staying consistent. A consistent person do not care about tomorrow. He cares about today. Am I consistent today with what I am doing? Be faithful by being on time. For today, time is today. Now is the time. Tomorrow, you don't know what God is. Be faithful by putting all the effort now. Be faithful by working now and playing later. You know our problem? We want to play now and work later. But God says, work now. That's faithfulness. If you apply it, now God, I will bring you to an expected end. The expectation of God for you now is to bring you to heaven. But in terms of where we are living on planet Earth, God is trying to bring you to an expected end. Your expectation is that you will become this in life. But God says, be faithful. I am taking you through. If the children of Israel had gone into the promised land before the time of 40 years, they would have been eaten by animals. They would be in competition of food with animals. But God allowed them to traverse 40 years in the wilderness to teach them and to prepare them and to increase their number because they were burning children for that 40 years. Men were marrying and giving birth and they were all prepared to take on the promised land. So your promised land, you will arrive. But faithfully, follow God in your little beginning.
There's someone who has hidden his gift or what he was given to occupy with, either because it's too little, it's not glamorous, or in fact, they know they respect people like him. He has hidden it for a long time, and we know what happened to the guy who went and hid his talent. Assuming God has not come to that person, does he have any hope of redemption?
Yes. His hope of redemption is simply to repent. You have an opportunity to repent from any point you have fallen in the Christian life. If you repent and go back to God, he will accept you. You remember the prodigal son? When he repented and came back to his senses, he went back home. Did the father not forgive him?
He did.
Didn't he waste his talent and gifts?
He did.
In riotous life. His son was worse. He demanded it. He left. He went and squandered it, came back, and the man accepted him. And the Bible says he gave him clothes, put sandals on his feet, and returned him, instead of being a servant, returned him to the position of sonship. That's God. If you have fallen, if you have misused your talent, if you have hidden it, and today is the day of salvation again for you. And as you are hearing my voice, repent and go back. Dig it out, for the master has not come. Start using it. Are you given a gift to sing in the church? Are you given a gift of using the resources, riches God has given you to bless a church, and you have been hidden it away from the church? God is calling you today. Go back to where you have hidden this gift. I have not yet come. I am still to come. You can start today to invest. God will forgive you, and he will bless your investment.
I'm going to squeeze in one other question before, because our time is almost up. I've heard cases where churches want people to do work for them, and then they say, this is how much I'm charging for this amount of work. The church say, no, use it to serve God.
No.
And this person say, pastor, I'm a carpenter. It's on this carpentry work that I get money to take care of my needs and my dependent. Is the pastor correct, or is it the carpenter that is saying, pay me for my services, I will now give offering or give whatever I want to give?
God loves a cheerful giver. Dear pastor, it is not for you to determine who gives you what or what. You know what I mean?
You are running an organization. You need the services of a plumber. And you advertise. And people quoted. You accepted one. You are bound to pay the person for his services.
He's a member of the church.
Wait, I'm coming. You are inviting the person that is not a member of your church. Will you pay that person? The answer is yes.
Yes.
Now, if you have a member who will render that service and is you throw it open, you didn't ab initio said that the church needs the services of plumbing, a plumber, to do a plumbing work in so and so part of the church. Can you kindly come and do it free for the church? It's a different ballgame. You advertise it for free. If someone accepts to do it for free, it's right. But if people quoted and you receive quotation and somebody, a member of your church, also won that, and you are saying you should do it free, you don't force people to do things for God. The person may decide to do it free. The person may decide to charge money. If he charges money, pay him for his services. After all, if you pay him, he's going to pay tithe. Assuming you have taught them how to pay tithe. It's still the same money. He's still applying back to God. He may decide to do today, charge money, other days, free. But it's not left for you. After the person has charged you money to execute a project, you are now complaining that you should have done it free. Don't do that.
The argument many pastors have is that this person is being spiritually fed in this church. Why can't he just ordinarily give his plumbing service?
No, you are not God. And who informed you are spiritually feeding him?
I'm the pastor. I'm the senior pastor of this church.
Let me tell you one thing. A pastor carrying 200 persons in the church may not be ministering to the 200.
No, everybody gather, I preach in front of
that
church.
You are preaching,
I declare the word of God.
That you are preaching
God.
And declaring the word of God has not made it that you are ministering to all of them. Take it or leave it. And that you are ministering to people has not given you the power to take undue advantage of them. It is God, it's not give. And you are not saying that at that point, you are not saying give, it shall be given back to you. They're not giving back to you, they're giving back to God. Your duty is to pray that God will touch the hearts of men. If you have taught them well, if you have ministered well to them, by mere opening your mouth for any service to be rendered in the church, not your private business. So, because consider your private business different from God employed you, gave you 200 souls to minister to. And if you minister well to them, if there is need in that church, God will touch the hearts of men to give back to him free.
Okay, assuming that request.
I remember they are paying you too. It's from their money they are paying you. Assuming they say they are paying you salary, that you should have done free. That you have, your administration should have been free. Why are they paying you salary? And then the reason they are there in the church is that if there is work to be done, some may be free. Some you need to pay. Pay.
Okay, assuming.
And you receive that service.
Assuming they make, maybe they meet me and say, Mr. Ding, okay, please, we need your plumbing service. By the way, I'm not a plumber. They say we need your plumbing service. Please help us do plumbing. And I say I'm not doing. Should I feel guilty for not? I just say sorry. The amount of time is going to take me, and the work that needs to be done. You should pay something. Maybe I'll give you something. They say no. They don't have any money. Should I feel guilty if I say I'm not going to do unless they pay?
You know, one part of this problem is when we are not led by the Holy Spirit. To the person that is saying no, I don't know the reason, but the thing is, as far as the work of God is concerned, the work of minister is concerned, it's not what is done carnally. To the man that is demanding, are you carnally demanding? Or did the Holy Spirit... You know one thing about this life? If you walk under the Holy Spirit of God, he will not lead you to a man that will reject serving God with his gift. And the man who is rejecting, if he has consulted with the Holy Spirit of God, he's a Christian, and the Spirit of God asks him to go and do that thing free, he will go and do it free, because his reward is not right in that place of rendering service. God will open doors of reward for him that will bless him. But the problem is, if that same person that they're asking you to do something, which the answer you gave, no, it's not a wrong answer. God says no.
Yeah.
To prayers.
Mm.
That person has prayed you, please, can you kindly do it? And you say no. If you are no, it's sincere no. You have no guilt to feel.
Okay.
Because the Holy Spirit directs you to say no. But I know the Spirit of God will lead you to a person that will not say no if he's involved.
Okay. It's a wrap for this week's edition of Word Journey. Thank you very much, Venerable, for making our time to teach us today.
Thank you. And may God continue to bless us.
Amen. We'd like to hear from you. If you have a question, if you have feedback to give us, please feel free to get in touch with us. By mail, it's wj@ehaniogbonna.com. If you want to call, text, or WhatsApp, please send to this number, 003-7620-939. Please know that you can download this episode of Word Journey and other episodes when you visit Venerable Bona's website. That is ehaniogbonna.com. You can equally stream all the over 20 episodes of Word Journey on your favorite podcast platforms, such as Spotify, Anchor FM, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Stitchers, Radio Republic. Just download any of your favorite podcast platform and search for Word Journey of Veni Hanyobona. It's equally important that I let you know that starting from May 2023, you can get daily short exhortation by Venerable Bona on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and TikTok when you follow the handle at Our Word Journey. If you prefer to get them on WhatsApp, please send WJ to 08037-620-939 and you'll be added to the broadcast list. My name is Ifeanyi Chukwu D. Nwoke. And until we bring you an episode of Word Journey, please don't stop occupying with whatever God has given you. No matter how small, non-glamorous it is, and no matter how much we don't reward you, remember, human beings can just give you gifts, but when it comes to reward, it's God that gives you. That's one takeaway from this episode. Ever since the first episode of Word Journey debuted on 25th December 2022, God has helped the team release a new episode every week. By the strength and wisdom that God provides, the Word Journey team has expanded your options for accessing every episode. So in addition to downloading all episodes of Word Journey on the website ehaniogbonna.com, you can equally stream all of them on your favorite podcast platforms such as Anchor FM, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Amazon Music, and Radio Republic. In fact, the team has made extra effort to bring you the Word of God daily through channels we call Word Alive in the morning and Bedtime Rhema in the evening. Our desire is that you have a daily infusion of the Word of God, even in the midst of your busy schedule. So if you want to get our weekly Word Journey, daily Word Alive, and Bedtime Rhema, please send WJ to 0803-7620-939 on WhatsApp.